ومن أحسن دينا ممن أسلم وجهه لله ممن أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. Allah says, and who is better in religion than one who submits himself to Allah while being a doer of good and follows the religion of Abraham, inclining toward truth? And Allah took Abraham as an intimate friend. Allah asks us this question often. Who would turn away from the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam? What was his religion? Allah tells us, he clarifies, he was neither a Jew nor was he Christian, because those scriptures came much after him. So what was the religion of this man whom all the monotheistic faiths revere? Even the kuffar of Makkah revered Ibrahim alayhi salam because he was the ancestor of Ismail alayhi salam. He was the father of Ismail alayhi salam, who was from their ancestors. So the beautiful deen is that someone submits themselves completely to Allah and they strive to be at the level of excellence. Wahuwa muhsin, ihsan, from beauty. And whoever follows ittaba'a millata Ibrahima hanifa. Hanif means someone who turns away from every single other direction and simply turns towards Allah, ignoring everything else. When someone does that, Allah says that he will make him a true friend, an intimate friend as well. And a he or a she, a man or a woman. Because Allah says in the previous ayah, whoever does good, whether a man or a woman, Allah will admit them into Jannah. And Allah will accept them and raise their status. So Allah says he took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a khalil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take such a person as a khalil. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And ever is Allah of all things encompassing. And they request from you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a legal ruling concerning women. Say, Allah gives you a ruling about them and about what has been recited to you in the book concerning the orphan girls to whom you do not give what is decreed for them, meaning the mahar, dowry, and yet you desire to marry them, and concerning the oppressed among children, and that you maintain for orphans their rights in justice. And whatever you do of good, indeed Allah is ever knowing of it. So the interesting thing is that we see that the men would continually come to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and ask him about women. They were concerned about giving rights to the women in their homes because they had taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many men of ours today would worry about the rights of a woman upon them? In fact, most of the time, women in our cultures are taught that they have duties to perform. Women are not taught about their rights. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran always speaks about the rights of those who are considered weaker in society. The women of the house, the wives, the mothers, the sisters, the aunts. And then Allah talks about the orphan girls. Allah says you want to marry them so that you would not give them their dowry because there's no one else above them to look out for those girls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the oppressed children. Those are the weakest of society. So the Quran protects the rights of the weakest of the people in any society. And if a person truly is concerned with pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person would fear Allah regarding the weaker people in his family. This address is particularly to men, that the men need to look out for women, and the men need to look out for the rights of oppressed children. It is the men, and then anyone else in authority over others, they are supposed to look out for the weakest of that group. So wherever we reach, if you and I, even if we are women, if our reach is toward those people who are weak and are oppressed, we have a duty to stand up and defend them and to fight for their rights. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to establish and maintain justice, not just for ourselves, but in fact for other people. So Allah says, and whatever good you do, whatever you do of good, indeed Allah is ever knowing of it. Allah is always aware. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said in meaning that as long as a person is helping another, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping that person. Allah then says, and if a woman fears from her husband contempt or evasion, there is no sin upon them if they make terms of settlement between them, and settlement is best. And present in human souls is stinginess, meaning that holding on to self-interests. Everyone has their self-interest at heart. Allah says, and present in human souls is stinginess. But if you do good and fear Allah, then indeed Allah is ever with what you do acquainted. So try to work things out. Even if a woman feels that her husband is going to treat her with contempt or evasion, Allah encourages them to come to terms and just settle the dispute. So that the woman would give up some of her rights in return to stay in the marriage. Because she fears that her husband might divorce her. So she might give up some of her monetary rights, or she might give up some of her physical rights, for example, so that she would stay in the marriage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that this is acceptable, but only if the woman agrees and she is willing to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are stingy, that we have only our self-interest at heart. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do good. So Allah says, "Wa in tuhsinu wa tattaqu." If you do ihsan, you go above and beyond, and you fear Allah, and you try to work things out, Allah says, and indeed Allah is ever with what you do acquainted. And you will never be able to be equal in feeling between wives, Allah tells the men. The men who have multiple wives, Allah says, you will never be able to be equal in feeling between wives, even if you should strive to do so. So do not incline completely toward one and leave another hanging, meaning that neither divorcing her nor enjoying the rights of marriage, because she also has rights. And a woman does not want to feel abandoned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is an order. Do not incline completely toward one and leave another hanging. And if you amend your affairs and fear Allah, then indeed Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran encourages men to have one wife, because that is better for their akhirah. They will be able to deal justly with one wife. But since Allah has allowed more than one wife, if a man decides to marry under his prevailing circumstances, to marry more than one, then he must be fair in every single aspect of his actions. His heart is not his own, but he may not behave in a way that one of the wives is going to feel deprived of anything from him. Allah says, but if they separate by divorce, Allah will enrich each of them from his abundance. And ever is Allah encompassing and wise. Many Muslim and Asian cultures believe that divorce is a bad thing. Divorce is a difficult thing. However, it is not a sinful thing. People often look down upon those couples, the man and particularly the woman, who has undergone a divorce. And we always question why people were divorced. We will never know, because that was between the man and the wife. Even the families will not understand. And we need to though have a very serious approach to this. It is a very serious thing. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained in detail the protocol of divorce. And he has, as we have seen before, put multiple obstacles in the way so that we would simply just take time out and think about what is occurring. Because breaking up of the family is the one thing that shaitan wants. The Prophet ﷺ said that, in meaning that Satan sits on his throne and he takes reports from his shayateen every day. And he only gets down from his throne to greet the one who has broken up a family. That being said, Divorce is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed. And in these ayat, He says that if they separate, Allah will enrich each one of them from His abundance. And ever is Allah encompassing and wise. So we have to be careful and not take this lightly. Divorce is a very serious issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like people to simply divorce on small problems that they have with each other. In fact, from these ayat that we have read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to think, rethink, try to reconcile, get arbitration, and then rethink again. Subhanallah. And He has particularly enjoined men to be patient. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but the reality is inevitably some people will get divorced, and that is okay. You and I, should never condemn those who have divorced. We should not condemn those who have taken this step simply because we do not understand it. We should not place negative labels on such people because we have not been there. We do not understand the hardships that they have gone through because this is not an easy decision. Allah then says, and to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And we have instructed those who were given the scripture before you and yourselves to fear Allah. But if you disbelieve, then to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. And ever is Allah free of need and praiseworthy. Allah does not need us to believe in Him. Allah does not need us to follow the best of behavior. Allah does not need us to have taqwa of Him, to try to work at the level of ihsan, to try to establish justice in our lives, to try to be generous to each other. Allah does not need that. We need it. Allah is free of need. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We often come across this ayah in the Quran, and sometimes we sort of just gloss over it. Do we even understand the enormity of the statement? Every single thing, even every breath that I take, that you take, it belongs to Allah. The blink of our eyelid, it belongs to Allah. Every single thing belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take care of every single thing, every problem in our lives. Allah says, every single thing belongs to me. He is aware of the struggles that we are going through at every second. Even while we sleep through our struggles, subhanallah, Allah is aware of them, and He is in control, and He is making things happen, or He's preventing things from happening, because those are in His power, not ours. So we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in difficult times and in times of ease. Allah says, if He wills, He can do away with you, O people, and bring others in your place, and ever is Allah competent to do that. If we don't believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will simply replace us with others. If Muslims do not practice their religion well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make other people accept Islam. And Islam has always been the fastest growing religion, and it will continue to be so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the truth in our hands, and He makes people recognize it. So if we do not uphold the book of Allah, then Allah will simply replace us with others who will uphold His book. Allah says, if He wills, He can do away with you, O people, and bring others in your place. And ever is Allah competent to do that. Whoever desires a reward of this world, then with Allah is a reward of this world and the hereafter. And ever is Allah hearing and seeing. Allah says, if you desire the good life of this world, then remember something. Be careful in what you ask for. Be careful in what you aim for. Because Allah has the reward of both worlds. Allah has the goodness and the blessings, the fortunes of both worlds. If a person concentrates on the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this dunya as a bonus. This dunya is simply a bridge. Allah says, don't concentrate all of your efforts on this bridge. Allah says, O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it is against yourselves or parents and relatives. Can we really do that? Ask ourselves, can we persistently, no matter what, stand up for justice and become witnesses for the sake of Allah? Can I stand up against myself? Can I stand up against my parents? Do I dare? Can I stand up against my relatives? Do I dare? Allah says, whether one is rich or poor, Allah is more worthy of both, meaning He is more knowledgeable of their best interests. So Allah says, adhere to what He has enjoined upon you and testify honestly. Do I dare to stand up against one who is rich? Do I dare to stand up against one who is poor, but he or she is in the wrong? Allah forbids us and says, so follow not personal inclination, lest you not be just. And if you distort your testimony or refuse to give it, then indeed Allah is ever with what you do acquainted. Remember, false testimony is a major sin. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, aminu billahi wa rasulihi, wal kitabi alladhi nazzala ala rasulihi, wal kitabi alladhi anzala min qabl. O you who have believed, believers, Allah says, believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book that He sent down upon His Messenger and the scripture which He sent down before. Why? Why is Allah speaking to the believers? He's addressing the believers on the one hand, and then He's commanding them to believe. O believers, believe in Allah and His Messenger. Why? Allah then says, and whoever disbelieves in Allah and His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day has certainly gone far astray. It means to renew, to confirm and adhere to your belief. Truly, because iman goes up and down. We know that. When we leave a Quran gathering, when we leave the Salah of Jummah, our iman is high. But then we get entrenched in this dunya and we forget. And shaitan makes us forget. So what does Allah truly want from us? He says in the next ayah, indeed those who have believed, then disbelieved, then believed, then disbelieved, and then increased in disbelief, never will Allah forgive them, nor will He guide them to a way. Give tidings to the hypocrites that there is for them a painful punishment. Meaning this is hypocrisy. This is the relapsed heart. It was going toward hidayah and then it went back. Allah says, who are those hypocrites? Those who take disbelievers as allies instead of believers. You know, leading a life of just in case. So they're friends with either group, both groups. Because it depends on who is stronger and more popular at that time. Allah says, those who take disbelievers as protecting friends, awliya, min dunil mu'mineen, instead of the believers, they're not really attached to the believers, they're more attached to disbelief and disbelievers. Allah says, do they seek with them honor through power? But indeed, honor belongs to Allah entirely. Many people think that Muslims will only succeed if we have allies as disbelievers, if our allies are disbelievers, if we have the right protection from disbelievers. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. You will never get honor by making disbelievers as allies and looking down upon believers instead. Allah says, honor belongs to Him, Allah alone, and He grants it to whom He wills. In fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, explained in a beautiful hadith. He said, whoever seeks to please Allah by angering people, Allah the Exalted will be pleased with him and will cause the people to be pleased with him, meaning Allah will change their hearts. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, whoever seeks to please people by angering Allah, Allah will be angry with him and will cause people to be angry with him. Subhanallah. So where does izzah, where does honor really lie? It only lies in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It lies in making believers as our allies. Allah says, and it has already come down to you in the book, meaning the Quran, that when you hear the verses of Allah recited, they are denied by them and ridiculed. So do not sit with them until they enter into another conversation. Indeed, you would then be like them. Indeed, Allah will gather the hypocrites and the disbelievers in hell altogether, those who wait and watch you. Then if you gain a victory from Allah, they say, were we not with you? But if the disbelievers have a success, they say to them, did we not gain the advantage over you? But we protected you from the believers. Allah will judge between all of you on the day of resurrection, and never will Allah give the disbelievers over the believers a way to overcome them. So Allah says that these people, the hypocrites, they ridicule the Quran. And they sit in gatherings, or sometimes they do certain things in gatherings, whether it's conversation or actions, that make fun of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says while they are doing that, while those hypocrites who call themselves Muslims are doing that, do not sit with them, leave. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not told us to stop meeting with them. In fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah loves the believer more who sits with others and is patient. So stay with people, remind people, because reminders benefit believers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not sit with them when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being ridiculed. Leave the conversation. If we continue to sit in that situation, then we will be like them. And this is the least amount of faith, where you feel terrible at a conversation or at a situation where Allah's ayat are being made fun of, and the smallest thing that you can do, the least thing that a person can do, is to walk away. Because beyond that, there is no iman. And this is according to the hadith in Sahih Muslim about enjoining good and forbidding evil. Because we are reminded, we must stop evil with our hands. If we cannot, we have to stop it with our mouths. If we cannot, then we need to at least feel terrible in our hearts. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that that is the lowest level of iman. Subhanallah. So Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the hypocrites and the disbelievers all together in hell. And these hypocrites, they actually wait for the believers to fall from grace. They want the believers to fail. And when they fail, they sympathize with them. And then if the believers are successful, then they want to be part of it, part of that success, and to celebrate with them. But if disbelievers are successful, then they say, oh, we were always with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ. Indeed, the hypocrites seek to deceive Allah, but He is deceiving them. And what is their mark? Allah says, and when they stand for prayer, they stand lazily, showing themselves to the people and not remembering Allah except a little. مُذَبْذِبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. Wavering between them. لَا إِلَهَا أُولَئِ. Neither to these, wala ilaha ula'i, and neither to those. Subhanallah. What are the marks of a hypocrite? Allah says they make fun of the believers. Their hearts are actually attached to disbelief. On the other hand, when believers are praised and they are popular and looked up to, they jump on the bandwagon as well. This is hypocrisy, being two-faced, wearing masks and hiding what is really inside of you. What is another mark of theirs? Allah says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they stand up for prayer, it's very hard for them. They stand up lazily. They wait till the last moment. They find it very difficult to do wudu and to pray salah on time. They're not at all energetic for it. In fact, it seems a burden for them every single time. And they simply show up, stand up because they have to, just to show to people, maybe to others around them or their family members, or because they're in a gathering, everybody's standing up for prayer, and so they also stand up for prayer. مُذَبْذِبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. They don't belong to either group, wavering between believers and disbelievers, neither here nor there. This is a mark of misguidance. Allah says, وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. And whoever Allah leaves astray, never will you find a way for him. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who have believed, do not take the disbelievers as allies instead of the believers. Just like in ayah number 139. Because Allah says, those who take disbelievers as allies instead of believers only do this for worldly benefit, as is convenient. Allah says, do you wish to give Allah against yourselves a clear case? Indeed, the hypocrites will be in the lowest depths of the fire, and never will you find for them a helper. Subhanallah, the lowest depths of hellfire? Fit darkil asfali minan nar? The worst of hellfire? A worse position than the disbelievers? Subhanallah. Allah says then, except for those who repent, correct themselves, hold fast to Allah, and are sincere in their religion for Allah, for those will be with the believers, and Allah is going to give the believers a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in His mercy always, that you have a chance, you still have a chance. You and I, we still have a chance to change ourselves. Let's look at ourselves. Do we stand up for salah lazily? Are our hearts attached more to disbelievers than believers? Do we really rejoice at the success of believers? Do we really seek honor and privilege with disbelievers or believers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us a reflection that we do not like. The Quran is a reflection that shows all our faults down to the tiniest mistake. But that is in the mercy of Allah. That is the mercy of Allah. Because if we did not know our faults, how would we correct it? If I look into the mirror and I see a smudge on my face, that's the only way I can wash it off. If I'm not aware of what I look like, if I have dirt on my face or dirt on my heart, how will I cleanse it? Allah in His mercy has given us the Quran. So He gives us the prescription. Allah says, repent, correct yourselves, and then hold fast to Allah and be sincere in religion for Allah. Allah says those are going to be with the believers, and Allah is going to give the believers a great reward. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allah asks us a very interesting and beautiful question. Ma yaf'alullahu bi'azabikum in shakartum wa amantum? What would Allah do with you, meaning what would He gain from your punishment if you are grateful and believe? What is shukr and what is iman? Allah says, why would I punish you if you were really grateful to me? Grateful for what? The Quran. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 185, that He has sent down the Quran and He wants us to fast in this month of Ramadan, during which He sent the Quran, so that we are grateful to Allah for the guidance that He has sent us, for this mercy, for this mirror that shows all our faults. And the same mirror also shows us how to improve ourselves, reform ourselves. It teaches us how to repent to Allah. It teaches us how to be sincere. And this is the rope of Allah. Allah places it in our hands. And He says, come back to me. Why would I punish you if you were grateful? Grateful for the guidance, by following the guidance, by thanking Allah for the guidance from our hearts and feeling happiness at receiving this guidance and believing in Allah constantly, not at times of convenience, but constantly, no matter how hard or how difficult it might be. Allah says, and ever is Allah appreciative and knowing. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah is always appreciative and always all-knowing. He is waiting to show His appreciation. It is up to us whether we want it or not. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi الَّذِي بِنِعْمَتِهِ تَتِمُّ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Alhamdulillah, we have completed the fifth juz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly, truly taught us the meaning of justice and generosity in these ayat. Adl and ihsan, justice and also excellence to go beyond what is required. Alhamdulillah, may Allah make us of those who are truly sincere to Him in religion. Ameen. May Allah cleanse our souls. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah make us of those who stand up for justice, even if it is against ourselves or our parents or our relatives, against the rich or the poor. Ameen. May Allah make us of those who stand up for the rights of orphans and the needy. Ameen. The rights of oppressed children. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah make us of those who always watch out for the rights of those who are weaker than us. Ameen. May Allah give us the strength to give to others. Ameen. May Allah not make us of those people who require the help of others. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who purify their faith for the sake of Allah, who hold fast to the rope of Allah, who know the injunctions and understand the injunctions of Allah. Ameen. May Allah make us of those who are protected from shaitan. Ameen. May Allah make us of those who are not influenced by the desires aroused by shaitan. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us work for Jannah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us do amal to please Him so that He will grant us Jannah by His mercy. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite all the Muslims so that we always follow Sabilul Mu'mineen, the path of the believers, the ijma of the believers. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Rabbana, taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.